click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.
Helping you secure your future is brought to you by Alan Gray, 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized financial services provider. So for many of us as South Africans, we know that we need to save for retirement. If you're lucky enough to be employed or even economically active and derive some form of income, it's important that you put some money away for the days within which you'll retire or transition in your career. But we know that a lot of employers provide this level of support by ensuring that they protect employees' financial interests. But what more can we do as employees in partnership with employers to shape better retirement outcomes? It's a quid pro quo relationship. To help us unpack this further, we're joined by investment specialist in the Group Savings and Investments team at Alan Gray, Belinda Carpet. Belinda, thank you so much and welcome to the show.
Good evening, Gugu, and good evening to your listeners.
Thank you so much for making time to join us. And I'm always intrigued by this conversation, right? Because retirement is one of those topics that never gets old, never gets tiring, and is always very relevant to our lives as South Africans. But let's talk more specifically to individuals who find themselves employed under a corporate structure where they join a business. Not only do they get a salary, maybe some medical aid cover, but also access to a retirement fund. Let's talk about, you know, how the different structures work, but more specifically, a umbrella fund, which one would typically be exposed to?
Yeah, so Gugu, all of us are going to retire at some point in our life. And within South Africa, you have two types of retirement structures. One is a standalone fund, and two is what you mentioned is an umbrella fund. And just to distinguish between the two, a employer might have a standalone fund, and I'll use an analogy where they have their own bus, or an employer might use a shared bus where an employer takes a seat on a bus and shares the cost of the running of that bus with multiple other employers. And that's really what an umbrella fund is.
And this is important for us to understand, right? Because umbrella funds were essentially established just to make sure that there's a ease of alignment, similar objective outcomes, investment outcomes, but also reduction of fees when it comes to the management of pension funds. Maybe talk us through this by highlighting some of the key benefits that come with umbrella funds.
Yeah, so Gugu, I think costs are so important. And one of the key benefits of an umbrella fund is the benefit of economies of scale, which results in decreased costs from administration to investment costs. And then umbrella funds also have the benefit of also offering members investment choice. And ultimately, we are trying to improve outcomes, improve member outcomes at retirement, and having reduced costs is a significant lever in actually getting to that space.
I'm also quite keen for us to take a look at what is actually driving this transition, right? As you say, benefit in terms of cost, but are there other factors that actually see many employers leaving standalone pension funds and moving to an umbrella fund?
Yeah, Gugu, that's a great question. So if just to anecdotally, in 2015, we had about 774 standalone funds in South Africa. And as at the end of December, we had about 254 standalone funds. So you can really see there's been a lot of consolidation in the industry. And this has primarily come from two angles. One, National Treasury has actually been encouraging the consolidation. But secondly, and arguably the most important point, is that the extent of the regulatory changes that standalone funds have had to deal with has been so significant. If you just think back to last year, we had the implementation of Two-Pot, and these regulatory changes have been very costly to implement. Standalone funds have to build systems to cater for these changes, and also the cost of communicating these changes to members. Where an umbrella fund, that cost is shared amongst hundreds and hundreds of employers.
Quite exactly. And I'm glad that you use that illustration as well, right? Umbrella funds are shared across various employers, because quite literally, like opening up an umbrella and covering a plethora of individuals or people, that's what you do with companies and institutions where we all gain the benefit of having access to similar investment opportunities, but also making sure that we cut back on the costs. What I'm also quite keen to hear about, you know, might be some of the misconceptions that exists with umbrella funds. Because the truth is, whilst we all want to have a favorable outcome in terms of retirement, our strategies, options, and manners of getting there might be different. Does this speak to some misconceptions that actually might exist in the market?
Yeah, Gugu, I think there are probably two misconceptions with Umbrella Fund, and one is around personalization or customization. And I think it's important to note that when you are part of an Umbrella Fund, you do have an element of personalization or customization. You set your own retirement age, you set your contribution categories, you can select what risk benefits you want to employers. And also some Umbrella Funds also allow members to add additional voluntary contributions. So the key point here, there is actually a lot of personalization. And then the second myth really is that some people say that Umbrella Funds are quite opaque with their costing. And the Retirement Savings Cost Disclosure Standard, the RSC, really debunks this because it sets out a standard on how costs are presented. And this really is so useful for employers and employee benefits consultants because they can use this to be able to compare costs across different Umbrella Funds.
Very true. This also speaks to some of the themes that we typically hear when we discuss Umbrella Funds. Default investment options. What are these and how do they fit into the broader structure?
Yeah, so Gugu, I mean, the default regulations were introduced back in 2017, and it's a great piece of legislation introduced. Really, the purpose of the default legislations are for the trustees to ensure that there's an appropriate investment portfolio for members who are unable to choose or choose not to make an investment choice. And some members might not be very financially sophisticated, and therefore the default portfolio will look after that member. And I think it's very important to note that defaults is a one size fits most, not a one size fits all. And there's still the onus on a member of a Umbrella Fund to look at their circumstances and make sure that their needs are matched by the default. Mm. But the underpin of the default is to look after members that are not financially sophisticated and take them on a journey to a dignified retirement.
I like that. It's like saying I want to go from here to Cape Town. That's my final destination. There is a route, the N1, that I can use that is safe and efficient and can get me there directly. But I can also go via Kimberley. Or you know what? I could actually stop via maybe even KZN. Stop in another province and then come over, right? So it's like there's a roadmap.
Take the scenic route.
Exactly. There's a roadmap, but you can customize it to make sure that you find your own unique objectives to the outcomes that you'd like to find. And maybe that's also something that we need to discuss. You know, how do we ensure that we can actually personalize this, but also making sure that even if you decide to stick with the default investment options, that we don't run the risk of following through with these schemes and rules blindly. So I guess what do we need to be cognizant of in the personalization, but also in looking at the option of sticking to what's already been in place from a default point of view?
Yeah, so I think, you know, we don't want to sleepwalk to retirement. I think there's an onus to look at what your current contributions are and see what retirement that will give you. And a lot of Umbrella Funds provide retirement calculators, or you could work with a financial advisor to see where you are on that journey. And it's very important to engage, you know, do regular checkups. It's like a health checkup. Have you done a retirement plan checkup? On your current contributions, what does that retirement look like further on down the line? And you might need to do additional voluntary contributions if you get a salary increase or small bonus at the end of the year, but to be constantly engaging with your fund to see what your end destination is looking like.
Definitely. And that's important, right? The relationship with the financial advisor. Speak to the employee benefits consultant to also get clarity. But what role can employers and employees play in effectively having a positive influence in maximizing our retirement outcomes? Because typically we might think, well, I'm just going to speak to someone in HR, but they might not always be best positioned. But how do we leverage this partnership to make sure that we heighten the objectives?
Yeah, so Gugu, let me, I think as a broad statement, we need greater engagement from all stakeholders, to your point, from employers and from employees. So looking at employers, what should they be doing? I think an important point or departure point is an employer should be conducting a regular benchmark review. And over the years, your company is very likely to have grown and changed quite significantly. significantly, meaning that what was the right decision initially for your start may no longer be the optimal choice. And just doing an analysis and making sure that your umbrella fund is fit for purpose is a good point. And secondly, the employer actually knowing what the costs are, asking your existing provider to provide you with a detailed breakdown of your fees, and also making sure that you're getting some value from that. Is your umbrella fund provider coming to your company and doing a report back for members? So I think those are two key components from an employer level. And then I think from an employee level, you know, we have to also accept that we shoulder some of the responsibility for building our own retirement. And I would encourage members, like, when did they last look at their benefit statement? If they've had if they've got an online account, have they logged on and seen their values? Have they nominated their beneficiary nominations? And more importantly, do they know how much they are contributing? And at that contribution level, what does their retirement look like? So it's really just this 360 engagement from employees, from the umbrella fund providers, using tools. Ultimately, you know, we want to shift the savings curve in South Africa. Mm. We want employees to have a beautiful retirement. And I think it's teamwork from both the employer and the employee.
Definitely. So important for us to actually reach out and actually not only speak to HR, but the employee benefit consultant. You know, ask the questions. What am I invested in? Can I see, the fund fact sheet of what I have exposure to when it comes to the investments under the umbrella fund? Can I even improve on my contributions? How does that also work from a tax benefit point of view? Belinda, you can tell I'm getting excited, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a very exciting topic.
Yeah. And another reason why I do get excited about it is because I've had the opportunity to be exposed to this information here on KaiBiz, but also working with and through Alan Gray. There's a wonderful conference that is typically held called Through the Noise, and it's a virtual retirement benefits conference. For those who don't know what this is and how it works, I guess whet our appetite just to give us a better understanding of what will be discussed, but more so why it matters to us as South Africans.
So, Guri, it's very exciting. It's our fifth conference, and it's really about bringing retirement into focus. So this year we've got some international and local experts speaking, and the topics really are very, very topical at the moment. How is AI developments going to impact the retirement space? Also looking at global uncertainty and how that is shaping the retirement landscape. So please join us. It's free. Log on to our website and let's build our greater retirement plans together.
100%. Thank you so much, Belinda. Really appreciate your time giving us some insight into conversations that are critical to our livelihoods and financial future. That is Belinda Carpet, who is the investment specialist in the Group Savings and Investments team at Alan Gray.
Thank you very much, Gigi.
Thank you so much, Belinda. Truly appreciate your time. With over 5 decades of investing experience, Alan Gray remains focused on building long-term wealth for its clients by pursuing long-term returns without taking undue risk. Alan Gray, more than 50 years of long-term investing. Alan Gray is an authorized FSP.
Kaya Biz with Gugule Tumfuphi, Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.
Click kaya959.co.za
to download the Kaya Biz podcast.